we can look at in Luke. Because everything that God does for us, He does not because of our goodness, but because He has made us righteous through His Son, Jesus Christ. That's why He does what He does. And, you know, it's wonderful to realize that Jesus Christ is our all in all. He's everything we needed Him to be, and we have everything we need in Him. There's some great prophecies in the chapter 2 of Luke regarding Jesus Christ that I wanted to look at a little bit this morning in light of it being the time that we celebrate Jesus Christ's birth. Of course, His birth would mean nothing had it not been for His life, His death, and His resurrection and ascension, would it? So, but to them, it was a fulfillment of prophecy, even though it hadn't all come to pass. They knew that because God had spoken it, it would certainly come to pass. And just like those, the heart of those believers then that had to look forward to Jesus Christ coming, fully expecting that God would do everything that He spoke of that He would do in relation to the Messiah, to the Redeemer, who would be His Son, that we look forward to the same thing. We look at the promises of God and we realize that everything that God has spoken, not one thing that He has spoken can He back up on. That everything that He has said has to come to pass. Come on in here. We just cracked our Bibles open, believe it or not. So come on in, Eileen. But everything, there's not anything that God has said that He will not do. So they were excited with the birth of Jesus Christ. They were excited because something that God had said was now coming to pass. It was now that it was happening. Now they realized that is the time of the Redeemer. And there's some wonderful excitement there. In chapter 2 of Luke, we'll read a little bit, and then I want to focus on what Simeon said. But this is a great record here, and it's always fun to look at, because it's exciting. Because when you put yourself in their day, in their time, and you realize what they were looking at, it's the same for us in this day and time. It's no less exciting for us to look at the promises of God and what He has provided for us as it was for them, looking at the baby and all that He meant to Israel. It says, we'll start in verse 8, it says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them." It was like somebody flipped the game lights on in the middle of the field, right? When those angels showed up, it was like, poof, the glory of the Lord shone round about them. They got their attention. Then they were sore afraid. They were a little bit, whoa, what is going on? And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, fear not." You know, anytime there's a great thing from God about to happen, the adversary makes you afraid. He wants to get you to fear because he knows that if he gets you to be afraid, then the lights are going out for you. That's why he addressed it immediately. The angel addresses it immediately. Don't be afraid. God has great things in store for you. Do not allow yourself to be afraid. "I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." It not just to you, shepherds, but to all people. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." The Messiah is now born. "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men." Because now the Savior's here. It's God's grace that is going to be made manifest now. It's God's goodwill toward all mankind in the life of the Savior, Christ the Lord. Now you can be at peace with your Heavenly Father. Now there is no more conflict ever again because of what is about to take place. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let's now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." Let's go check it out. He's made it known to us. Let's go see it. Let's see it now. You know, and that's like everything that God has ever promised. He's made you known. Now, what do you want to do with it? He's made it known to you what the Messiah is all about for you. He has made known to us that we have salvation. We have wholeness in every aspect, in everything in our lives. Do you want to see it? Then go see it. It's there. They made the right choice. They just didn't sit around and go, "Oh, wow, that was cool. Oh, that sheep is running away. Go get him. Oh, let's go back to bed." No. They made an effort to now go see what had been made known to them. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen, not it, but the baby, they made known abroad the sayings which was told them concerning this child. And when they heard it, when they heard what these shepherds had said, when Mary and Joseph and all that were with them, they heard it, wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them, considered them in her heart. She considered everything from the moment she was told, "You're going to have a son. You're going to have a child." Right? And she responded with, "Okay, be it unto me according to thy word." She kept those things in her heart because there was the adversary chomping at her heels going, "Be afraid, be afraid." Just like with everybody, all of us, whenever whenever the word of God is made known unto us, the adversary wants us to be afraid, to keep us from going and seeing what he has made for us, seeing it with our own eyes, receiving into manifestation the wholeness of salvation that is available to us now. Seeing the fruits of our righteousness every day, right? Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, that's a promise of God. We're righteous in Christ, we're made righteous. Do we see those things? Do we want to see those things? God, I know you want to see those things. You'd be brain dead if you didn't want to see those things. We all desire to see those things. And we find time and time again in the Word of God and in our lives that when we do seek to find and see with our own eyes the things that God has made known unto us that are available to us, are we able to grab them? Yes, we are. Are we able to lay our hands on them? Yes, we are. Like what Paul said by revelation, right? I want to apprehend. I want to put my hands on what I have been apprehended for. What God has put his hands on me and set me aside for, I want to put my hands on it. I want to apprehend for that which I was apprehended. That's old English. And I just paraphrased it for you. I want to put my hands on what God has put his hands on me for. And every time we have that desire, every time we have that, like, I got to see this, we see it. Because God's faithful. God's always there. And the shepherds, verse 20 said, returned. And what were they doing? They were glorifying and praising God. Oh, isn't God awesome? Isn't God remarkable? His promises are true. He showed them to us, shepherds in the field. He cares about us. He didn't just go to the priests and the prophets and the Levites first. He came to us, shepherds. God's awesome. And they praised God for that, for being allowed to see with their own eyes the redemption of Israel, the Messiah. for the things that they had heard and seen. See, it's always hearing and seeing. It's hearing and seeing. They heard. Had they not believed, they never would have seen with their own eyes. We hear many things that God has promised us. When we believe, we will see. As it was told unto them, they saw exactly what was spoken to them. Because God can't do any less. When God sends his angels, say, you go better go tell them this is what's happening. If God had, you know, if it was wrong, what would happen? God doesn't get the glory. Well, God always speaks truth. Whatever he says will truly come to pass. 8 days were accomplished, right? Verse 21 says, and they were accomplished for the circumcising of the child. His name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Mary and Joseph had nothing to do with his name. And when the days of purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. So they were just doing what the law had told them to do. They were rejoicing. They have a man child. Boy, this is great. Just like the angel told them. So they continued to do according to the law, to offer a sacrifice according to that which was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Verse 25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation, waiting for the comfort, for the hope of Israel. What was Israel's hope? A Redeemer was coming. He would be a king. He would be their king, and that kingdom would never end. Not like David's that came to an end. But he would be from David's seed, and he would have a kingdom that would not end. He was waiting for that consolation. That was their hope. That was their consolation. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. The Holy Spirit was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. That he would not die before he saw the Messiah. What a revelation God gave to that man. It'd be like him giving one of us revelation that, all right, you're not going to die before you see my son return. Wow. Whoa, that would be some deep revelation. That would be some pretty heavy stuff. Now, God has never told anybody that. People have thought, that, but it didn't happen. Anyway, God won't do that because it's all wrapped up in his plan, and he's not going to make known to anybody. But that was quite a revelation. And so what did he do? He believed that. He believed it. And every day he thought, you know what? It could be today that they bring the babe to me. He could show up today. I could see the comfort of Israel today. Wow. What an exciting way to live. Well, we have the same kind of a hope. We don't know. It could be today. Not everyone will draw their last breath before Jesus Christ returns, right? We can have that same confidence, that same excitement about today in relation to Jesus Christ's return. We can. Most of us don't live that way, though, unfortunately enough. We get up in the morning and we don't think that today Jesus Christ could come back. So I'm going to live before God today because I don't want to be embarrassed if he shows up today. I know I'll go with him, but I certainly don't want to be standing there, you know, to the guy next to me in line at the Bema going, hey, man, isn't this great? Yeah, what were you doing today when he came? Well, I'm a little embarrassed to say. I don't want to be embarrassed at his coming. Neither do you. We should live in light of his coming. Because everything that God has promised will come to pass. Well, Simeon, he came by the Spirit into the temple, verse 27 says. God said, go over to the temple right now. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, He was there right at the right time, the same time. Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord. He knew right away. God told him. God told Simeon, here he is. Here's the one you were waiting for. Now, Lord, lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. This is what Israel has been waiting for. And now I see it, Simeon said, by, you know, revelation, prophecy, he just speaks it forth. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child. You know, first he prophesies to the baby, to the child, Jesus. He said, wow, this is awesome. Mine eyes have seen it. I'm looking right at him. And then he says to Mary and Joseph, Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Then verse 35, yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many may be revealed. If you take that parenthesis and stick it at the end of verse 35, you can understand it a little bit better, because it's just a parenthesis. But he set for a sign that shall be spoken against, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. People, it's going to be revealed who really believes God's truth and who doesn't because of this child. And yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also. You know, speaking to Mary, it's not going to be easy for you to watch it. Prophecy for Mary. But in relationship to Jesus Christ, the Messiah, he's set for the fall and rise again of many in Israel. Why? Because some would believe and some would not. You know? It speaks of him as being, it kind of alludes to him being that stone of stumbling, the stumbling stone. And I wanted to kind of look at that because it's very simple. In 1 Peter, we look at it in 1 Peter chapter 2. He is set for the fall and rise again. You know, why would he say that? Well, because not everyone will believe. And verse 7 of chapter 2 says, unto you therefore, verse 6, wherefore it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he's precious. He's very valuable to you. But unto them which are disobedient, the stone which the believers disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling, verse 8 says, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. You know, the fall of those who reject him, the fall of those who stumble at him. You know, the Pharisees, all the legalists of Israel, were so concerned with doing the law, with working their way into God's righteousness and into God's grace, that when Jesus Christ showed up, he's like a stone that they would stumble at, because you don't have to work anymore. All you have to do is believe who he is and believe what God has made him to be for you. Your own work is taken out. It's taken out of it totally. Now, do you believe that? Then he is a most precious stone for you. He is the chief cornerstone of the building to which you and I are a part of. But if we're disobedient to that truth about him, then he becomes a stumbling stone to us, and we fall over it, That's what they did. Some fell, some rose up to believe. In Isaiah, looks in Isaiah, something in Isaiah about it, I think. In Isaiah chapter 8. This is really cool because, you know, so many things in the Old Testament, when you read them, they are direct revelation and guidance for the believers of the time, and yet they still point towards something in the future. In Isaiah chapter 8, I think it is. I don't have this. I wasn't going to go here, but yeah, it is here. In verse 12, remember this? Say ye not a confederacy to all them that say, a confederacy, all those people that say a confederacy, neither fear ye ne'er their fear, nor be afraid. Verse 13, sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear. Let him take care of all the things that you're afraid of. Let him do it. Everything that he has for you eliminates fear. Because you know you have him working for you. And in this time, there was a union, a confederacy of nations that were coming against Judah. I think it was Judah. And some were afraid. And Isaiah, by revelation, is saying, don't be afraid of those guys. They can't hurt you. You trust God. You trust the Lord Almighty, and he will take care of you. Let him take care of it. Let him be afraid for you. Let him be shaken in his boots for you. As if he could. See, he can't. He's not afraid of anything. God's Almighty. Right? And then verse 14. Look. Verse 14 says, and he shall be for a sanctuary. He will be for a sanctuary. A safe place. A holy place. But for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken. Why? Because they would not look to God Almighty. They would not look to him to provide for them. They would not believe and therefore would stumble. This is revelation directly for them. Don't be afraid. Trust God. Trust in what he will provide for you. And also looks forward to Jesus Christ. He's either a sanctuary or a stumbling block. To anyone. To everyone. He's either a safe place for you or you'll stumble over how easy it is. Because of unbelief. You'll stumble. See, we, praise God, have chosen to believe him. We believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. We've made him our Lord. We have that safe place to reside in. He is our sanctuary. Let him be your fear. Let him be your dread. You think he's afraid of anything that you're faced with? No. He's not. That's a rhetorical question, I know. He's not afraid of it. Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father, is there anything that makes them afraid? No. So don't worry about those fears that the world wants to stick in your head. Don't worry about it. Look forward with great anticipation and great excitement to the way God will provide for you. You know, I'm sure there were many in Israel at the time of Jesus Christ's birth and those years previous wondering, how is God going to ever do this? It's been 400 years since anybody has ever spoken with any kind of authority. It's referring to Malachi. And even then, boy, his message wasn't too encouraging. Will a man rob God? Wherein have we robbed you? Huh? What are we doing wrong? 400 years. You don't think there were people sitting around going, how is he going to do this? It's just never going to happen. It's impossible, even for him. So we'll just gut it out. We'll stick to our laws and our rules and our regulations and hope that maybe that accounts for something. And then the Messiah shows up. And those that said, no, I want my laws, I want my rules, I want my regulations, I want my condemnation, daggone it. I don't feel good without it. Why, I just don't feel normal without condemning myself over something. And the Messiah shows up and says, you see me, you see the Father. You know what the Father wants for you? He wants you delivered. He wants you healed. He doesn't need your diary from how many times you've paid your penance and done your thing and done your offerings and sacrifices and all the rest. He doesn't care about that. What he cares about is right now, in my face, right here, face to face with the Messiah, do you believe? Do you believe that God can do what he has said he can do? I'm proof he can. I was born of a virgin. How about you? When they looked at him, what did they say? What were they thinking? Those that stumbled at him didn't receive anything. But those that decided, I believe that you are what the Word of God says you are for me. See, he's a sanctuary for us. You know, and all the world is flipping out. He's our sanctuary. And we don't have to fear their fear. We don't have to be afraid. Look back at 1 Peter. There's a lot more you can look at this. You know, 1 Corinthians 10 speaks of Jesus Christ being the rock that followed them, right? They followed him in the wilderness. They always looked forward to that. And they had everything they need when they looked forward to Jesus Christ. We also have everything we need when we understand what we have in him now and what we look forward to. We also look forward to the hope of his return. You know, that rock that was smitten in the wilderness that brought forth water? You know what? That was a pretty neat trick. Right? When Moses was out there and all of Israel was out there in the wilderness going, man, we're thirsty. It's hot. We haven't had anything to drink. There's no water around here. What did you get us out here for? Probably to die. And Moses goes to God and he says, what does he say? He says, God, you got to help me out here. They're ready to stone me. They're irritated, to say the least. They're going to stone me if you don't figure something out. And he said, okay, I got an idea. Take your staff. Remember the staff you were carrying. You've been carrying it around since we touched the old, you know, Jordan, the Red Sea, and it parted. You know, that staff, pretty good weapon. Take that with you, and we're going to go find a rock out there right in front of everybody. I want you to smite the rock, and then water's going to flow. What happened? You know, it's symbolism. It's pointing. It's a type pointing to Jesus Christ. Everything that God did, he had a reason for it. It wasn't just a big show. He could have come up, you know, and found, you know, said, go 5 miles that way. You'll find some water. No, God likes to do things in a big way, so that there's no doubt that it's God. And he also likes to keep us, you know, thinking about the right stuff. He smote the rock. This is the rock of stumbling, you know. He was smitten. Jesus Christ was smitten. And yet, what came out of that? Holy Spirit came out of that. You know. Now it's Christ in each one. That's why it brings it up in Corinthians. In 1 Peter, we'll go back there and read a little bit more in 1 Peter. Because see, you know, like I started earlier, when we looked at the response to the Word, you know, when we respond with faith, with believing to the truth of God's Word, when God's Word is spoken and made known to us, when we respond with faith, with conviction, with trust that, yes, this is God's Word and God has to back it up, then we can, with real determination and real enthusiasm and excitement, proceed, continue, to and expect to put our hands on it, expect to see it. Because God's the one who's promised it. Nothing's impossible for Him. Nothing. If he can get water from a stone, he can do anything. If he can raise Jesus Christ from the dead, he can do anything. He didn't have to do those things to prove it to us. But he did. 1 Peter chapter 2. We'll finish a little bit here. Right? You know, he's either a stumbling block for people. Like it says, I think it says it in Romans, that he, you know, to the Jews he was a stumbling block. To the Gentiles it was foolishness. Are you kidding me? The preaching, that preaching and just believing that preached word would bring salvation and wholeness to you? And it's not just about salvation. It's anything in the word. When we speak what the word speaks, and it's received with believing, we receive those things. Right? Answers to prayer. God says, make your request be known. And don't be anxious. Receive that truth, and you will see it. You know? Yeah, it's a foolish thing, isn't it? All I have to do is speak truth to you, and if you receive it with faith, you'll get what I've said to you. That's a kind of a foolish way to live life, isn't it? Well, the Gentiles think so, but you're not a Gentile anymore. You're a son of God. You're a daughter of God. It just doesn't stop. Faith doesn't stop with salvation. It continues every day of our life. And now it says, okay, chapter 2, verse 4, to whom coming? Well, let's read the whole thing. You lay apart, verse 1, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. You know, I mean, just isn't it like every time you go to the Word of God, you just feel like this little baby? It's like, yeah. Man, this is so wonderful. Look at this. This is great. I want some more. Give me more. Give me some more. Because I need to grow. You know, if we have that heart, you know, that's what he's saying. Look, just come to the Word that way. Come to the Word that way. Don't come to the Word thinking you know everything. Come to the Word. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. He's gracious, isn't he? We know that. We know that he's done so much for us that we did not deserve. We've tasted that. We know how gracious our Heavenly Father is. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God. You know? He was rejected of men, but this is chosen of God. This is the rock that we build upon. Jesus Christ. His life. His work. That's what we build our lives on. Yea, also as lively stones, living stones, you are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Because we believed Him. Huh? Because we believed Him. You know, we're doing the things spiritually that those things physically represented in the Old Testament. The things in the Old Testament that were represented by those physical things, you and I are now doing spiritually with the Christ in us. When we go and we share the truth of His Word, when we manifest power, bringing deliverance to someone, we're doing the things that God intended for us to do. Acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded, will not be ashamed, will not be disappointed in his expectation, right? You won't be disappointed in your expectation when you just believe him. And recognize that He's the chief stone. He's the chief cornerstone. He's the one that we all rely upon to keep this building straight and right and a glory to God. Not our own work. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. Boy, how much would you pay for that? Right? It's just so beyond price. But unto them which are disobedient, the stone of the builder, which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Right? The same. And a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient. But you, verse 9, you, but you, the ones reading this because you believe it, you haven't stumbled at him. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar or marked out people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And he's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, you know, which in time past you weren't even a people. But now are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now you have obtained mercy. You know, let's remember that everything that God has promised will surely come to pass. You know, he's called us from darkness into light. You know, into light, that light which lights the Gentiles, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's called us to rejoice in that. You know, to realize that no matter what is going on out there in the world, we have cause for rejoicing because we have a sanctuary to go to. We have the Lord Jesus Christ's accomplishments. We are the righteousness of God in him. We are made holy and acceptable before God in Jesus Christ. And just like every righteous man that ever walked the face of the earth, we may sin from time to time, except for Jesus Christ. He never did. But all the rest, they may have sinned, but we don't deal with that. It's already been dealt with. We simply go to that sanctuary. You know, we don't go off on our own trying to work it out. Oh, I've sinned. I'm so bad. Oh, I got to do something. No, go to the sanctuary. Go to the Lord Jesus Christ and be done with it. And don't be afraid. Don't ever be afraid. Because God will bring to pass every word. Every word. He's chosen you. He chose you because he sees your heart. He knows that you believe him. He knows you believe him. That's why he chose you. Believing the word of God is always what we need to do. We don't need to rationalize it. We don't need to argue with it. We don't need to wrestle with it. We just need to accept and take God at his word and live in that sanctuary, not stumbling around out there with all those people in the world. So, thank God for bringing to pass his promises. Just like he sent his son, he will do everything he has promised to us. He fulfilled every promise to Israel, some of which they're still waiting for it. But you know what? They're going to have them. They're going to have everything God has ever promised. They will have those promises fulfilled. And everything God has promised to us will be fulfilled as well. As long as we just endeavor to want to see them. Oh, I know. It's been made known to me. I want to see it. Now I seek to see it. All right? So, Father, thanks for your grace. Thank you for the way you continue to bless our lives and back up everything that you've said to each of us. Thank you, Father, that as your children, as your sons and daughters, we can joy and rejoice knowing that we are part of that building that you have built and that we together are where you reside, a holy temple in the Lord. Thank you, Father, for calling us and making us members in particular of the body of Christ. And Father, that we can trust you and have great anticipation in our hearts, knowing that you will do so many, many wonderful things for each of us as we come to you and bear our hearts before you. Thank you for these things, Father. Thanks for a great week ahead and a great holiday season. Thank you, Father, that we can spend great time with friends, with family, with your sons and daughters. And Father, just for the way you bless each of us by your grace. Thanks for your unspeakable gift to us. In the powerful name of Jesus Christ, amen.